You're listening to From the Pulpit by Sahlein. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider becoming our patron by donating at sahlein.org/support.
Now the question is, from an Islamic perspective, is it recommended to hold a wedding or no? We know definitely that marriage is recommended, getting married, correct? This is definitely recommended. But is it also recommended to have a wedding, a formal ceremony, where I invite people, I give them food, and we cheer and dance and whatnot? Is this also recommended or not? Because now you see a new trend of some young youth who are getting married, religious youth, they're faithful, mu'mineen, but however, they have decided to skip having a wedding. They say, Sayyid, why should I have a wedding? The point is, Allah wants me to get married, so I will get married. I'll go to the Sayyid, I'll go to the Sheikh, and I'll have my Kitab Iktab. I'll have my Nikah recited, my Aqid, my Milcha, whatever it's called. And then I am what? I am married. This is when the official marriage begins. It's after the Kitab Iktab, the Aqid. So what's the need of having a formal wedding? Inviting so many people. You have to go through so much trouble and planning. You have to spend thousands of dollars. This is all unnecessary. I have received the thawab and I have followed the sunnah of Rasulullah by getting married. So I've received what? I've received the benefits without the burden of having a wedding. So why have a wedding? And you see many people, many young individuals I have seen in many communities, they are leaning towards this trend that get married, but no reason to have a wedding. Wedding is not important for me. It's between me and my wife and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus they are skipping weddings altogether. So the question is, Islamically, from a religious perspective, should we have weddings, yes or no? What do you think? Na'am? We have to ask the woman? Yalla, let's ask the woman. Islamically, should one have a wedding, yes or no? Yes? Yes? Any no's? No no's? Yalla, tayyib. So Islamically, is it recommended to have a wedding, that formal ceremony, yes or no? The answer, brothers and sisters, depends. It depends what type of wedding you want to have. If the wedding that I want to have is like the weddings that I am seeing in our communities today, most of the weddings, then you should definitely not have a wedding. Skip the wedding altogether. Because not only will I tell you this, listen, and then you can judge what I'm saying. Not only are the weddings that are happening in our communities, in our Muslim Shia communities today, are they unrecommended, but many times they are haram. When you go to the weddings, you find the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being violated left and right. 95%, brothers and sisters, I would say, of the weddings that I hear about or I attend, which I usually try not to attend because of this, or I see, for example, on social media, 95% of them, unfortunately, even mu'mineen, hajj, the father is a hajj, the mother is a hajja, they are believers, they come to Salat al-Jum'ah, they come to the masjid, but you find their wedding becomes a ceremony of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every haram you imagine is committed in that ceremony. But however, to put that aside, in general, generally speaking, when we read the traditions of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salat wa salam, we find that it is recommended. They did encourage us to hold weddings. What do we mean by weddings? By a wedding, we mean to hold a feast in celebration of your marriage. Invite people, hold a ceremony where you invite people and you feed them. You hold a feast. This is recommended by the Imams of Ahlul Bayt and by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the question is why? We have to understand the purpose of weddings, brothers and sisters, because now wedding is all about love. It's just about, I'm in love with some girl. This girl is in love with this guy and I want to declare to the world that we are in love. Is this why I am celebrating? No. This is not why I'm celebrating. It's recommended in Islam to have a wedding. Remember, not marriage. We're talking about the formal wedding reception ceremony. Four reasons. Number one is because in our weddings, we are feeding other people. Sahih? We are providing food for other people. And this is highly recommended in Islam. To feed other people, to give, to invite other people for a meal is highly recommended. Let me mention three sets of ahadith. The first set of ahadith are the traditions that tell us Allah loves when we feed other individuals. One hadith from Imam al-Baqir says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu it'am at-ta'am wa iraqat ad-dima." Allah loves when you feed other people, when you invite them for a meal. Iraqat ad-dima means when you slaughter an animal, give them meat. That means when you invite them over, don't give them falafel, give them meat. Give them laham, quzi, give them chicken. Sahih? Show your generosity. Iraqat ad-dima. This is one hadith from Imam al-Baqir. Another hadith from Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam al-Sajjad says, "Man at'ama mu'minan, at'amahu Allahu min thimar al-jannah." Whoever feeds one mu'min, Allah will feed you from the fruit and the foods of al-jannah. So this is one set of ahadith. Allah loves it that when we hold feasts, we invite other people to eat. This is number one. Number two, the second benefit of holding a feast and inviting people to eat is that when you feed other people, Allah forgives your sins. Listen to this hadith from Rasulullah. The Holy Prophet says, "Min mujibati maghfirati ar-rab it'am at-ta'am." One of the factors, one of the acts that will entitle you, that will make you earn the rahmah of Allah, the maghfirah of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah is it'am at-ta'am. If I have committed sins and I feel bad and I feel my sins have burdened my back, one good way to repent is to give food to people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you because you are feeding other individuals. Another hadith from Imam al-Sadiq says, "Man at'ama thalathatan min al-muslimin, ghafar Allahu lah." Whoever feeds three people from the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. Imagine just three. So in your wedding, if you've invited 30, you can imagine how much rahmah you receive from Allah. If you've invited 200, 300, the more you invite, the more the rahmah is because you're feeding more people. So this is number two, that Allah forgives your sins by feeding other individuals. Number three, the third benefit of feeding others is that Allah increases your rizq. You see, when you're spending 2,000, 5,000 on my wedding, I'm feeding other people, you think this is a loss. The Prophet and the Imams tell us, don't look at it as a loss because Allah will quickly reimburse you. When you spend money feeding other people, this is not a loss. Allah will quickly reimburse you. Listen to this hadith from Rasulullah. He says, "Ar-rizqu asra'u. Ar-rizqu asra'u shay'in ila man yut'imu at-ta'am." Min as-sakin fi as-sinam. He says that when you feed other individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rizq will come to you faster than the knife can do its job. You know, the knife, when it slaughters the animal, it's done within seconds. The Prophet says that when you kill that animal, you slaughter it and you feed, Allah will bring you the rizq faster than it takes for you to slaughter the animal. So this is what? This is a metaphor. He's telling us that Allah will reimburse you. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. All these ahadith are speaking about feeding a poor person. A faqir, if I invite 200, 300 homeless people, poor people, who cannot afford to eat, of course all of this will apply. Sahih? But what if I'm inviting people who don't need food? My wedding, I have to invite my family and friends. Most of them, they're wealthy. Most of them, middle class. They're well off. Some of them, they're wealthier than me. Some of them are millionaires. So will I still get all those benefits if the people that come to my wedding and eat the food, they're rich, they're wealthy, they don't need the food? Yes, definitely, 100%. Why? Listen to this hadith from Imam al-Sadiq. A man by the name of Abu Muawiyah, he asked Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam about feeding other people. The Imam tells him, "Ma min mu'minin." Listen carefully, brothers and sisters. "Ma min mu'minin yut'imu mu'minan musiran kana aw mu'siran." He says, whoever feeds another mu'min, mu'min means a believer. Whoever feeds another believer, whether that believer is mu'sir or musir. Mu'sir means he is poor. Musir means he's rich. Whoever feeds another believer, it doesn't matter how much money he has in his account. It doesn't matter how wealthy he is. That doesn't matter, Imam al-Sadiq says. Man at'ama, or ma min mu'minin yut'imu mu'minan, illa kana lahu bithalika at-raqaba indallah. Allah will give you the thawab, the ajr, of freeing a slave. You know, one of the best acts that the imams would encourage people to do is to buy a slave and free him, because they want to end that slavery. So this would be one of the best acts that you can do. A slave is expensive. So it's like you go and you buy a brand new car and then you just donate it. A slave was expensive. So this was one of the best acts, to buy a slave and free him. Al-Imam al-Sadiq says, if you feed one person, at'ama, you invite him for a meal, whether that person is rich or poor, Allah will give you the thawab of freeing a slave. Now you may say, why? It's obvious, brothers and sisters. It's not because you just want that person to eat. When you invite someone over for a meal, whether it's in your house, whether it's in your wedding, you are showing the love to that person. I said, look, every night we have iftar here. Is anyone here homeless? Is anyone here poor? Is anyone here coming to eat because they don't have food? No. Asan, I guarantee you, some of the people that come and eat here, they have better food in their houses. But why do we come and we eat here? We come to show the love. We come to show the community. So when Allah wants you to feed other people, invite them for a feast, it's because you're showing that you love that person, you care for that person, that I invited you. I know you don't need my meal. I know you can have and find better food in your house. But by inviting you for this feast, this is a sign of respect, that I love you, that I care. And this creates love in the community when we do this. So this is number one. Why you should hold the wedding? It's because you're feeding other people in the feast, and this is highly recommended in Islam. Number two, the second reason why it's recommended to hold a wedding is by having a wedding ceremony, you are instilling happiness in the hearts of people. You see, many people, not everyone, yes, I know some people, they hate going to weddings, but most people, they love going to weddings. Why? Because they can meet their friends. They can, you know, try out new dresses for the sisters. They can come and eat good food. They can come and have fun. It's a time to come and have fun and enjoy. So many people, when they're invited to go to a wedding, that truly, you know, brings joy to their heart, that they can come and be a part of this celebration. The hadith of Imam al-Baqir says, "Inna ahabba al-a'mali ila Allah idkhalu surur ala al-mu'min." You want to do a kind act that Allah loves? Make someone happy, however it may be. Make someone happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the act. So when I hold a wedding, I know that I'm making people happy by inviting them, sending them an invitation and asking them to come and be a part of my celebration. I am definitely instilling happiness in the hearts of people. That's why it's recommended. So once again, it's not just because love, I'm celebrating my love. No, it's about the community. Feed the community. Show them the love, instill the happiness in their hearts. This is number two. Number three, one of the most important aspects of a wedding, and that's why Islam recommends it, is because it shows the unity of the community. You see, one family is celebrating. Do they celebrate by themselves? No. The entire community comes to celebrate with them. What does this show? This shows that this community is together. This softens the hearts. This brings the hearts closer together. That when one family is rejoicing, we all rejoice with them. It's just like, why do we attend the asabi'? Why do we attend when someone dies? Because we want to show that person that we're one community. We're like one big family. We are here to console you when you are sad, and we are here to celebrate when you are happy. So this shows the strength of the community, that for one person's happiness, everyone is happy. Isn't this beautiful? The unity. So this is the third reason why it's recommended to hold a wedding in Islam, for the unity, so that the community can join and celebrate together. And finally, and most importantly, why it's recommended to hold a wedding is because it's the sunnah of Rasulullah. Rasulullah encouraged it, and he not only encouraged it, and he would hold weddings. Listen to this hadith from Rasulullah. It's very interesting. It sounds like a riddle. Listen to it. The Prophet is narrated saying, "La walimata illa fi khams." It is recommended to hold a walima. Walima means a feast, in five occasions, even though he says la walima, but the ulama say what he means, this is recommended. Other things, it's not haram, but it's not as recommended as this. Five times, it's recommended to hold a walima, a feast. Invite people and hold a feast. He says, fi ursin, aw khursin, aw idharin, aw wikarin, aw rikaz. What does this mean? It's kind of like a riddle. Ursin, everybody knows. The first time that it's recommended to hold a walima, a feast, celebrate, is marriage, which is the wedding. So this is the hadith of Rasulullah. Number two, he says, aw khursin. What is khurs? Anyone know? Naam? Ahsant. When you have a new child, when a new child is born, it is recommended to hold a walima, to invite people over and to celebrate the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a child. This is the hadith of Rasulullah. Number three, he says, aw idhar. What is idhar? Idhar is when if it's a boy, when the boy is circumcised, the Prophet says it is recommended to hold a walima. Now, it is recommended to have the boy circumcised on the seventh day. This is just a recommendation. Many parents, they just do it in the hospital the first or second day. So if you hold a walima for the child being born, you can intend it two in one. I am holding the walima for the birth and for the idhar, for their circumcision. This is number three. Number four, the Prophet said, aw wikarin. What is wikar? Anyone can guess? Wikar is when you buy a new home and you move to a new home. It is recommended to hold a walima. Invite people over and give them food. This is number four. And finally, number five, aw rikaz. What is rikaz? Don't think anyone will guess this. Rikaz is if you come back from Hajj. And some have said also Umrah. If you come back from Hajj, thank Allah. Appreciate the fact that Allah gave you this opportunity by holding a walima. Holding a feast, inviting people over, celebrating the fact that you went to Hajj. So Rasulullah in this hadith, he says it is recommended to hold a walima for a urs, for a marriage. This is the hadith of the Prophet. And likewise, Rasulullah himself, when he would get married, he would hold a wedding. By wedding, we mean a feast. You invite people over, because tomorrow I'll speak about what our weddings have become today, how un-Islamic they have become. This is not the wedding that Rasulullah is talking about. The wedding of Rasulullah was that people come over and they have a feast and celebrate and go back home. And there are traditions from the Imam, interestingly, where they say it's even recommended to hold the walima for 2 days, not just once. If you want to have a wedding where you invite people for food, walima, first day is recommended, and even a second day is recommended if there is no space or if you have the means, the financial means to even feed more people, to invite more people, then hold the wedding for 2 days. This is mentioned in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam.